The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. We've got a great show for you where we're going to talk a little bit about the Mika and President Trump tweets and try to help the president help himself a little bit, what he should do as president of the United States. Also, I don't know if you know this, but Miley Cyrus is completely ageless and genderless, according to her. The House has passed Kate's Law as part of an illegal immigration crackdown, and some now are saying that is thanks to Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly joins us. It is Friday. He'll be with us in hour number two. Hour number three, the one, the only, the legendary Don Imus. All begins right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. Welcome to the program. Mika and Joe, thank goodness, they didn't go on vacation because they wanted to make sure that they had a chance to respond to the president's tweets. I'd like to translate.
And did they ever? Hold on. If you're driving right now, you might want to pull over to the side of the road.
Okay.
Here's what they said.
No, but there's three. Wait, there's three people that haven't pulled over yet.
Okay. I'll give you another second.
All right. It's over. Put on the emergency brake. Okay, they're good.
Put your flashers on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Flashers, everybody.
You won't be able to think after I.
Okay, got it.
Here's what they said. And you tell me if this wasn't worth delaying their vacation. We're okay. The country's not.
Oh, wow.
There's no coming back from that. Mm-hmm. He may as well resign right now.
Now, if you think that that's not enough for them to delay their vacation, because they said yesterday they needed to delay their vacation so they could respond, perhaps I can translate from TV bullcrap to English. And when they said they needed to respond, what they meant, because I speak TV bullcrap, we need to be here tomorrow because this is such a big story. People are going to be tuning in to see us and watch our show because so many Americans don't have an idea of who we even are. And so we have a chance that somebody might watch our show. So
yes.
That an NBC called and said, no, you can't go on vacation because there's a chance of a ratings spike, which means from zero to anybody watching.
I mean, that's true. How can you take that day off? Right after
you can't take that
you
day
can't
off.
You have to sit there and respond to it, and you know their point in their op-ed today was, look, we think it's best for the country if he stops watching our show. He should watch Fox and Friends.
I would agree. I would agree. Here's the thing, and that it Rush responded yesterday and said he remembers Donald Trump telling him this story, yada yada. And I'm sure that's true.
But that story seems to have happened in 2012. So
yeah, and they released pictures of Mika, did they not?
Yes. Op-ed? Where she was not bleeding. There was no evidence of her bleeding.
Yeah. No. I mean, they actually went through the tweets claim by claim. If you want them really quick, they said Trump asked that we join him in Mar-a-Lago three nights in a row. That is false. He also claimed that he refused to see us. That is laughable. The president-elect invited us both to dinner on December 30th. Joe attended because Mika did not want to go. After listening to the president-elect talked about his foreign policy plans, Joe was asked by a disappointed Mr. Trump the next day if Mika could also visit Mar-a-Lago that night. She reluctantly agreed to go.
So it's essentially the opposite of what he said.
Well, I mean, look, you know, I don't trust them necessarily either to tell the truth on this. We do know that
we've seen this from him many times,
and we've seen the photos are pretty clear that she was not bleeding from her whatever. Face profusely.
From her whatever.
Oh, after we arrived, the president-elect pulled us into his family living quarters with his wife, Melania. We had a pleasant conversation. We politely declined his repeated invitations to attend a New Year's Eve party, and we were back in our car within 15 minutes. Mr. Trump also claims that Mika was bleeding badly from a facelift. That is also a lie. Putting aside Mr. Trump's never-ending obsession with women's blood, Mika and her face were perfectly intact, and as pictures from that night reveal. I will that's say that really that's good. The only part that any that, of
that's
us...
That's actually a pretty good response.
Yeah, that's the only part of us that any of us can... there's private conversations in behind closed doors. None of us can confirm any of it. The only part we can actually confirm is that her face was not bleeding from a facelift, at least that night. I mean, and if it was in 2012, that's a totally different story. But again... we all talked about how appropriate it was for him to be tweeting this about her. We didn't even stop to think about whether it could have been actually true. I mean, I think the nation's immediate response was he's just going after her. He's hitting her back 10 times as hard. There was not even a consideration that what he said was actually accurate. No one believed that her face was... She just walked into a country club with her face bleeding. Like, that. Like it just doesn't seem at all possible. But, I mean, that is not even the standard it's judged on anymore. No one even stops to think, hey, maybe that might have been an accurate statement. It's more of, hey, is it right for him to be attacking? Does she deserve it for the stuff that she said? At some point, we should at least focus on the fact that what he's saying is blatantly not accurate, at least in this limited circumstance that we can quantify.
The White House response was beyond childish. And this is really where I want to head. Please, Mr. President, please pass health care reform. Repeal Obamacare. Help the American people understand the world they're living in. It does no good to create more chaos.
Build the wall.
I mean, please. This is insanity to go after the TV people. Who cares? So yesterday, when he said this, the White House had to respond, and the White House said, well, the media started it. Are we five? Seriously, are we five-year-olds? The media started it? You're the president of the United States, man. Can you act like the president of the United States? You are the most powerful man on the planet. You're the greatest man ever to be born in the White House and to occupy the White House. At least right now, you have the chance to be a great leader. Stop it. Please. Lead the country. Please. America is hurting. And you're the only person that can make Mika into a sympathetic figure.
I know. It's funny, too. We had talked about this a couple of weeks ago as a potential strategy. Realize that Donald Trump is going to do these things if you're the GOP. And take advantage of these moments where the media will be completely derailed on every one of his tweets and do things of value. And I don't think that this was planned. I don't think they tried it. But we had a test case yesterday of this strategy. And I swear this could potentially actually be effective. He tweets this in the morning, and you mentioned it, Glenn. A couple people have mentioned it. But Kate's Law and a Sanctuary City bill both went through with nobody even mentioning them. You could get anything through the day he tweets about Mika Brzezinski. You could pass 0% income tax the day that he tweets about, if just pick a more popular figure than Mika, and we might get a libertarian paradise put in. I mean, they get so focused on this stuff. And I know some Trump people, defenders, will say that this is a massive, a wonderful strategy. If it is, it would be brilliant. I still don't know that I like the morals of it for many different reasons. However, it would be an effective strategy. They are completely consumed when he does this. And these bills go through, and there was no pressure on these lawmakers. There wasn't the fight back. I mean, if you had a good healthcare bill, let's just say, in a miracle world, You had a good health care bill. Wait till vote day and then tweet something crazy. The craziest thing you can think of about the most about Oprah Winfrey. Go about the most beloved character you can think of on the left and say she's the worst person on earth. And you probably will let that thing will slide through with no resistance at all. It's an interesting way to go. I don't think it's a strategy, but maybe it should become one.
Yeah, I don't think it's a strategy either. However, Ben Sasse had a strategy on healthcare, and 20 minutes later, he said it on TV this morning, and 20 minutes later, the president tweeted something very, very similar, and it's really good if they'll switch strategies.
Basically repeal this. First and then figure out the replacement later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that here coming up in just a second. Our sponsor this half hour is Blinds.com. We're halfway through 2017. Halfway through. How's your 2017 home improvement projects coming? Tanya and I went to Blinds.com. Blinds.com can transform any room of your house. Do what I did. If you don't know exactly what you want in the house, it's fine. Blinds.com has people there that will take care of it for you. They're designers, and the designers work for free. It's part of the service at Blinds.com. They can look at your room. You just take a picture and send it to them, or FaceTime, and they'll just take snaps from it and put the curtains on, or the shutters, or the blinds or drapes, and they'll drop and drag and put those on and say, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? It's really amazing. And their customer service is beyond good. It's the best customer service I think I've ever dealt with, probably with Apple. Apple seems to have great customer service. At least they did last time I called Apple. Blinds.com, I think, is the best in the business. If you make a mistake, they'll have you remeasure, and you send everything back, and they cut them again, and you're good. They count that as their mistake because they haven't made it simple enough for you to do. Blinds.com. Now through July 6th, you can get huge site-wide savings at Blinds.com. Plus, save an additional 5% with a promo code BECK. One of their biggest sales of the year. It's Blinds.com, promo code BECK. Save an additional 5% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions do apply.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at GlennBeck.com. Mercury. 888-727 back.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
So, President Trump just tweeted again this morning about Mika and Joe just a couple of minutes ago. And, you know, he just said he watched it. It was stupid. It's low rated, bad show. And then the next tweet talked about how Joe had asked him for help to get a story off of the front page of the National Enquirer, and he said no.
That was written in the op-ed, by the way. So that started with Joe and Mika saying they got threats from the White House saying the National Enquirer is going to run a negative story about you unless you beg the president to kill it for you. And they say they said no. Now Trump's saying the opposite of that, obviously, that they did come to him and he said no. And now Scarborough has responded saying, I have texts from your top aides and phone records that prove my point. But I mean, does any of this matter, right? I mean, like,
in this particular case,
it shows who's lying, right?
Yeah, in this particular case, it shows which one to believe. And it also shows that you can't really believe that the president only just pointed out what was on the front page of the National Enquirer with Ted Cruz's dad. I mean, if he has the power to kill a story in the National Enquirer, then there's some collusion there. There's some working together with stories.
Right. He says, I wouldn't do that. You know, I mean, this is what's nonsensical stuff. And you just hope that the country can actually pass some things. But I'm not convinced that, you know, him tweeting about the right topics, right? Here's what I want on healthcare actually helps those things. You know, I don't think, you know, I don't think he follows the details of it as much anyway. I don't think focusing the country on those things necessarily does any good for those things, especially when Trump is behind it. Maybe the thing is just let him just sit here and have his little media battles. And I don't know, maybe the Republicans in Congress can just do their freaking jobs when they don't need the president at all. The only thing they need from him is to sign it. That's it. Pass the things yourselves and then let him sign it. You know, the health care bill again, you know, as much as, you know, you could people are calling it Trump care, which I think is OK, since Trump has come out and pitched for all of these plans very hard. But the bottom line is we all know he doesn't even know what's in these plans. These are plans designed by Congress that he's just pushing for because he wants to win. And so whose fault is it? I mean, as much again, it's really a big chunk of the GOP Congress's fault that we've coming up with these crap heap of these plans. It's, I mean, Trump, I think, would say if it was a good plan or a bad plan, would support it. He doesn't care. It's about them, you know, presenting something to him because they're the ones leading this and they're the ones that should pass something that's actually good.
So Ben Sasse came out today and he said, you know, Congress, if you can't pass it, you should just pass a repeal bill and then come take another shot at a better bill. The president then tweeted 20 minutes later, Congress should pass a repeal bill and then maybe come back and take another stab at it.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Good. Yeah, it is. That's a decent solution because what they have right now is awful. And they've even backed off. I don't know if we mentioned this on radio yesterday, but they've even backed off the tax cuts. So they're apparently not even going to get rid of the 3.8% tax in the healthcare bill or the healthcare law.
So you're really left with
mind-boggling, nothing
zilch out of this thing.
We get absolutely nothing out of it.
So what do you do?
You repeal it and then you know, in a delayed way so that we still have health insurance and then figure it out. You know, come up with a decent plan.
Or you could realize that it's July 4th weekend, and soon there'll be fireworks and hot dogs and picnics. And, you know, you don't have
to think
about it.
This is exactly the day you repeal it. That's exactly the day you repeal it. Let's go to Mike in Texas. Hello, Mike. You're a Trump supporter? Mike, you voted for Donald Trump?
I did. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And the only reason I voted for Trump is... Supreme Court justice.
Right.
You know, I talk to my kids. I've got two daughters. And they were asking me about it. Well, one of them was anyway. The younger one was asking me about it. And the only reason I voted for him was because of the Supreme Court justice. And I cringe every time I turn on the radio because I'm just worried about what he's going to say, what he's going to tweet, what he's going to do. I love Kate's Law. I love all that kind of stuff. All that stuff is good things. But, you know, someone needs to tell him he needs 5 days off. And maybe that's his son or his daughter. They need to go and smack him in the face and say, shut up. Stop doing this stuff.
It would be helpful if the president would just stop. And I don't even need him to focus. I think Stu is right. We don't need him to focus on... the health care bill or anything else. We just need him to stop saying stupid stuff on Twitter. Just somebody needs, an adult needs to walk in and say, you know what? You're in timeout space on Twitter. You obviously have a problem. You cannot handle Twitter. I'm taking it from you for 6 weeks.
And I think that's where... And Stu just said that a couple seconds ago, that let's talk about the issues. Why is he focusing so much on what a couple of, frankly, you know, they've got no ratings over there. Why is he actually, first of all, let's think about their ratings. Why are you increasing their ratings? Why are you going down that road? The only reason that they're doing this is to increase their ratings. I've never seen a president go down that road of tweeting about things, and I get the tweeting, I get the fact that people like his tweeting, but there's no reason for him to do so because it doesn't advance his agenda. And his agenda, frankly, is the most important thing for guys like me that live, frankly, in Texas, that, man, I had to swallow my pride to vote for him. And I realized you guys didn't do what I did, which is fine. I'm okay with that. I'm still with you as a listener. But my point is...
You're president now. Let's get the job done.
Yeah.
How's that for a point?
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
From Los Angeles in the Mercury Studios, the Pacific Coast, we're so glad that you've joined us. I was at Netflix yesterday, and I'm going in. It's a it's an absolutely beautiful studio, and it's the old I'm trying to remember the old Bronson Studios, where they used to shoot Gunsmoke and everything.
Perfect Strangers.
Did they used to shoot Perfect Strangers there?
That's a Bronson of reference.
Bronson Pinchot.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, okay. So assumed. Anyway, yeah, no. So anyway,
wait, people didn't get that immediately. I can't believe it.
That's a good reference. It's like my Chitty Chitty Bang Bang references that people don't
except
get.
Perfect Strangers was a great show with Mark Lynn Baker, obviously.
Right. Okay. I got it. So anyway, I go inside and it's this beautiful, beautiful, amazing, brand new building, on the lot. So I walk in and, I'm going back past security and I'm going back into some of the offices and I'm walking down this really long, pure white hallway. And, at the end is this amazing painting of Frank Underwood. Okay. And he's sitting, I don't even know if they've used this before. I don't know if I've seen it before. But it's this beautiful painting of Frank sitting in the Abraham Lincoln chair from the Lincoln Memorial. Have you seen that?
I don't know that I have. It's the president on House of Cards, the Netflix show, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so he's sitting in the chair, and it's this, 6-foot painting, and it's spectacular. And so I'm walking down the hallway with Tyler, who works with me. And we're walking down the hallway, and Tyler has, some artistic sensibilities in him as well. And so we're getting towards the end of the hallway, and I've just been admiring this quietly, for most of the hallway. And then I start talking about the painting, and I'm like, man, that is beautiful. And I'm saying it loud because we're alone, I think, in the hallway. And I said, that is beautiful. Look at that. Fantastic. And as I say fantastic, and Tyler says, yeah, right, I know, I begin to turn in the hallway, and both of us at the same time, our eyes drift down past the Frank hands and the Frank face, because it's a gigantic painting, and we start to scan down the painting at the same time, and there, standing right in front of the painting that we hadn't noticed the whole time, is Angelina Jolie.
Like, and she, the real person?
The real person.
Not a picture of Angelina Jolie.
Not a picture.
Actually Angelina Jolie.
The actual Angelina Jolie. Uh-oh. And so she's looking at us as we are looking just above her head at the painting, and I'm like, that's beautiful. Look at that. Fantastic. And I turn and I'm like, oh, dear God.
Did you get a restraining order yet?
Not yet. Okay. Not yet. Uh-huh. And so I walk into this meeting, and the first thing they said was, did you meet Angelina? And I was like, no. She was in the hall. I didn't notice. What are you talking about? Beautiful. Look at that. Fantastic.
Did it really fit? Like, did you think that she thought you were talking about her?
I have no idea. I just immediately looked away, because my thought when I saw her was, beautiful. Fantastic. Look at that.
Oh, no. Oh, no. You really shouldn't be allowed out.
I should not. You should not let me talk to celebrities or see celebrities or talk to anybody.
We need to build a Pope mobile for you and just move you really from meeting to meeting inside of it.
It's just bad. It's just so bad. Yeah, beautiful. And, you know, the bad thing is, if she knew I was talking about the painting, she'd be like, what the hell's wrong with me? I'm chopped liver. I'm standing in front. You're looking at the meat, at the painting?
You're looking at a painting of Kevin Spacey?
It was weird because the way it was in the hallway and the stark white and the black and white painting of this, it was really stunning. But it was a very dark painting, and she's wearing all black, and so it looked like, you know, when you first saw her, I mean, I don't know how he missed her head. It's like her head was like right in the center of his, of his chest or something, just floating there. I don't know how he didn't see it. You're seeing up on the feed today. That's not the picture. The one is being shown on, that's not the picture. The one that was on the Blaze TV.
Okay.
It's of him sitting in the chair Lincoln from Abraham Lincoln, the one in the Lincoln Memorial.
Mm. It sounds pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was not as nice as Angelina Jolie.
No, not even close, I wouldn't think. Yeah.
She she looked beautiful.
I'm sure she did.
Yeah, so she was. What she does. She is. Yeah,
that is kind of.
You know
what
how some
does.
People, you know how some people look different than they do on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like me, I look much, much fatter.
Wait, on which one, TV or not on TV? I don't.
I'm just saying. But anyway, she looked exactly like she does in the movies. She was beautiful. So I just thought I'd throw that in.
That's a good thing to be able to pull off. If you can pull that off, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I did think about turning around and going, so I hear you're single now, huh?
No, you didn't. Please tell me.
Did you get any
teases on what's coming up on the next season of House of Cards? Did you get any information out of this meeting at all?
No, but I did play fanboy a little bit on Daredevil.
Oh,
and,
right.
And I said, come on, man. Did you guys cancel Daredevil or is it coming back? And I don't know if I can say it. I don't know if they've released it, so. But I know.
Oh.
And you know.
Well, Netflix, good luck with hiding that information for the next week.
I'll go ahead and release that now.
It's time to get out in front of that story, whatever it is.
Beautiful, huh? All right. Now our sponsor is LifeLock. New ransomware attack sweeping across the globe like wildfire. It's worse than WannaCry. It's called Petya. It's ransomware. What it does is it encrypts and locks your entire hard drive, and not just individual files, but the entire thing. It's already crippled global banks, media companies, and governments across multiple countries, mainly in the Ukraine. That's where it really hit hard first. Gee, who's trying to cripple the Ukraine? Oh, that's right, Russia. Huh, what a coincidence. And now, while no one can stop all cyber threats, prevent all identity thefts, or monitor all transactions at all businesses, Norton and LifeLock have joined forces to help protect against the evolving threats of everyone's digital security. And with Norton and LifeLock, you're going to have the most effective cyber defense out there. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com. Use the promo code Norton60. That's Norton60. And you'll receive details receive the Norton Security Deluxe for a year with an annual LifeLock membership. That's a $90 value. Get your LifeLock membership for 60 days risk-free 1 year annual LifeLock membership, and you get Norton Security Deluxe for a year as well. Promo code Norton60. 1-800-LIFELOCK, 1-800-LIFELOCK, or lifelock.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Today is the 10th anniversary of the iPhone. You remember when the iPhone first came out? I remember seeing the iPad and the iPhone, and which came out first, the iPad or the iPhone?
iPad didn't come out for another 2 years after that. I think it was 2009.
And I remember seeing that, you know, you could touch the screen and you could open up the pictures.
You could expand it, make it bigger.
Right. And you could take pictures with your phone and expand those. And I mean, the iPhone was amazing. Business Insider has a story today of the 9 people who were convinced the iPhone would be a major flop. And have you noticed the trend? They are all mainly Microsoft people.
Or other failed phone companies, yeah.
Yes.
Steve Ballmer, for instance, who was Microsoft CEO at the time, he said, there's no chance the iPhone is going to get any significant market share. No chance.
Makes you feel good if you're a Clippers fan right now.
Yeah, what a visionary, huh?
Yeah, what a visionary.
The Microsoft senior director, Richard Sprague, said, I can't believe the hype given to the iPhone. I just have to wonder who will want one of these things other than the religious faithful.
Yeah, want a smartphone? A phone that you take with you wherever, plus you can access the internet and take photos of it? How could you not see that as a valuable device?
I really like is, did you see the picture of the funeral that they held?
Yeah.
Yes.
3 years later, they held a funeral for the iPhone when it released the Windows phone. And they're carrying a giant iPhone, all wearing black, down the street. There's like 4 people on the streets watching. It's hysterical, and how stupid they were.
Yeah, they've got a preacher behind them reading scripture and a bagpipe player. And I mean, they made a huge production out of it. And there are literally 6 people on the street watching. It's a great media event for Microsoft.
You know, what's amazing is Microsoft was working on a new phone, so that's why they went out against it.
Yeah.
The guy who was the CEO or co-CEO then of RIM, he said, in terms of a sort of sea change for BlackBerry, I think that's overstating it. Nah, kind of the opposite, seeing that BlackBerry really doesn't exist anymore. Nobody has a BlackBerry.
And you remember how prevalent those were? Before iPhone, they were everywhere.
That was the conversation when Obama took office, that he was going to keep his BlackBerry.
Right.
And that didn't work out well. John Rubenstein, who is was then actually working at Apple as an executive. 6 months later, he left to head the powerhouse of Palm. Remember Palm Pilots?
The Palm Pilot.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah. He said, is there a toaster that also knows how to brew coffee? There's no such combined device because it would not make anything better than an individual toaster or coffee machine. I mean, who would want a phone and computer together? It's stupid.
Who would want a phone, a television, a computer, a camera?
Right.
It's all together.
It's not better than an individual camera. And you could just carry all the devices yourself. That's all. What a weird stance.
Really weird.
Ed Collagen, Palm CEO at the time, we've learned and struggled for a few years here how to make a decent phone. PC guys are not just going to jump in and figure this out. Mm. You're right. And the Palm phone was such a huge hit as it was.
Yeah, he also said, we don't want to follow design fads. You probably should have. Probably would have been a good idea if you followed that particular design fact of a phone that works really well and does everything in your life. Probably would have been a good idea.
Chief strategist for Nokia said, even with the Mac, Apple has attracted much attention at first, but they'll still remain a niche manufacturer. And that will be in mobile phones as well. Yeah, they're such a niche market now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Actually, and actually, Apple is outside of the United States. Nobody can afford Apple products outside the United States. So they actually are a very small force outside of the States. It's, you know, it's the phone for the rich. Nobody can afford it outside. Nokia's CEO then said, I don't think what I've seen so far from Apple is something that would in any way necessitate us changing our thinking when it comes to openness, our software and our business approach. Motorola said, yeah, well, how are you going to deal with the iPhone? Let me ask you this. How are they going to deal with us?
They're going to ignore you, yeah. Pass you by, and leave you in the dust. I think that's how they're going to deal with it. John Dvorak said, what Apple risks here is its reputation as a hot company that can do no wrong. If it's smart, it will call the iPhone a reference design and pass it to some suckers to build with someone else's marketing budget. Then they can wash its hands of any marketplace failures.
Jeez. I mean, you know, it's always easy to look back at, you know, after you know you're right, to look back at the people who were wrong. I mean, at the time, it wasn't a home run. Not everyone didn't know it was going to be a huge success.
It seems like it was a home run with the people, though. Everybody was pretty excited about it. It sold 1 billion phones
There was still talk about who's going to buy a phone from a computer. You don't do that. They make computers, not phones. Who's going to buy their music or their movies from a computer company? I mean, you got to take yourself back 10 years. Nobody had done that before. Now it just seems so obvious.
Yeah.
But back then, it wasn't at all.
By the way, our polling company broke out the results. They took millions of surveys over, you know, the course of the election. I think it was SurveyMonkey that did it. And they broke out the results on iOS and Android. And you'd think iOS, kind of, that's New York, you know, like you're talking about Apple phones, like they're going to be big time Obama people, and the regular person has an Android. Exact opposite. Trump won with iOS Apple users and got destroyed among Android users. It was like 450 electoral votes Clinton would have won if only Android voters were actually voted.
Wow.
That hurts Apple's. That hurts Apple's feelings. Their artistic soul is wounded a bit.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Welcome to it. It's Friday, America. Today, we've got, I can't believe it. I got up this morning, I thought, I have two legends on today's program, on my show. And anybody who's ever been in radio, you're kind of like, oh man, you know, when you really make it, you know, you could talk to anybody. Today, I have Bill O'Reilly, and next hour, the incomparable Don Imus. And I'm sure he has a few things to say about the tweets. We're going to talk about the tweets with Bill O'Reilly. We get into Derek Carr and his contract and how he's behaving in comparison. Also, the right and the left have been eating each other, but now the left is eating itself, and the right has begun to eat itself. Later on today, I'm doing a special kind of town hall with Dennis Prager here in Los Angeles. It'll be carried on his website and also, I believe, at glennbeck.com, possibly The Blaze, where we're trying to get down to how do we come together as just the right. Hosts are starting now to eat each other. It's not real wise. We'll talk to Bill O'Reilly about that beginning right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Because we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Well, hello, Bill O'Reilly. Hello, Bill O'Reilly. Do I have to say from BillO'Reilly.com, where you can listen to him, you know, every day in his podcast on BillO'Reilly.com. Bill, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, I can. I can. I didn't know if you were making me give the plug before you spoke, but glad you gave me the opportunity. How are you doing, Bill?
I'm a little agitated over the week's news. A lot of stuff going on, so I'm happy to be with you to sort it all out.
Okay, so let me start with someplace happy, because there was like 2 weeks where you were a happy guy. And I liked
I'm not
Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah,
I know
happy
you're right. Cranky and back to it. So let me start with some happy news. Yesterday in the House, they passed Kate's Law. And a lot of people say, including me, that if that passes, that'll be to a large extent thanks to you.
Well, I appreciate that. It was interesting. Fox News didn't even mention my name last night, as they gave it scant coverage because the tweets dominated cable news. Kate's Law is necessary to send a signal to we the people, to every human being that resides in this country, legally or illegally, that our government will protect us. That's all it is. Yet hundreds of Democrats voted against it. I think I'm, 163 or something in the House of Representatives.
For those who don't know what for those who don't know what Kate's Law is, what is it, and what does it mean to vote for it and against it?
It's a very simple law. It says that if you have a felony and three misdemeanors on your sheet, and you're not a legal resident of the United States, all right, and you get deported and come back three times, they give you two, then you can be sentenced to federal prison for up to 10 years. No mandatories. I want it mandatory 5 years to 10 for first offense. So, but it's a symbolic law. It's a symbolic law. Yes, it would make it easier for ICE agents to sweep up gang members and bad guys they know are in the country illegally, and they're following and tracking. Now they can just arrest them under Kate's Law. They don't have to wait for them to commit another crime. However, it's basically when you have, and in Senate, they're not assured that this will pass because most Democrats will vote against it. And I said to my audience last night on BillO'Reilly.com, I'm not a party guy. I'm like you, Beck. I'm not in one party. I'm a registered independent. But how can I get any respect for the Democratic Party when its leadership tells its members in Congress not to vote for Kate's Law? How can I respect a party like that?
What's their problem with it?
It demonizes the quote-unquote immigrant community. That's their rationale. You make all illegal immigrants look bad by punishing these people. And everybody will think all illegal immigrants come under Kate's Law. Come on.
No,
it discriminates
against those who have been arrested multiple times, shouldn't be here in the country, given more chances than most people would be given, and then those who walk out onto a pier and shoot an innocent American for no apparent reason and kill her on a pier.
Here's how outrageous this is. The guy accused of killing Kate Steinle had been deported five times and come back six times. San Francisco County had him in the lockup. The feds said, hold him so we can come pick him up. They wouldn't. They let him out. He defied deportation six times. They let him out to run around. 3 weeks later, he shoots the girl dead, according to authorities. And you have Democrats, elected Democrats, saying we don't want to punish guys like that? Come on. This is the most extreme situation I've seen in 42 years of journalism. I am sick to my stomach about the Democratic Party not supporting it and the media ignoring it, flat out ignoring it. Because, again, they don't want to demonize the quote-unquote immigrant community. This is symbolic of why America is in so much trouble. This hate law.
I don't have a problem with the media ignoring it, because I think it has a chance of passing in the Senate with the media ignoring it. I mean, yesterday a couple of things happened this week because I think, you know, unbeknownst to him or not coordinated or not thought out this way, I think his tweet really kind of covered the tracks of the Republicans in Congress to be able to get a couple of things done without the media just harping on it.
Well, I'll talk about the tweets in a moment. I want to advance this story because, again, I'm watching and reading the coverage of it, and they're missing the essential point of what Trump is doing. And I'll explain it in a minute. But to get back to the country being in trouble, and it is, it is. We have a corrupt media, a media that's not seeking the truth. Everybody in the business knows it. We journalists know this, all right? So the media is not going to help the folks, not going to report honestly to your listeners. It isn't going to do it. That's dangerous. Secondly, we had cowardly politicians who take orders from the likes of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. These are not honest people, Pelosi and Schumer. They are corrupt people, all right? They are giving orders not to support Kate's Law, not to, to promote anarchy in sanctuary cities. They're giving orders to do that. And if you don't toe that line, they'll punish you in Congress by denying you funds to campaign, by giving you a hard time, by supporting people to run against you in primaries. This is corruption.
The Republicans do exactly the same thing.
Not at that level.
I disagree.
They don't. One example. Wait, Beck. Give me one example. That's all I'm asking of you today. One example of legislation that would help the country that Republican leadership have shot down with threats. Give me one.
Health care. Actually repealing it. And they have threatened Rand Paul, Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, Ron Johnson. They have gone after them. They have spread lies.
But let's see how that plays out. Let's see how that bill plays out. I'm going to cede your point that there's pressure put upon Republicans to vote for this new health care thing. But I'm not so sure that's bad for the country. That's the delineation line there. Go ahead.
Now they've gone back on their word. They're not going to stop the mandate and the taxes. So, I mean,
we don't know that yet. We got to see what that is. If they pull the tax cuts out of the bill, I will be disappointed.
Well, what does this bill do, Bill, even if it has the tax cuts?
It basically
how does this help? Here's what I want to ask. I don't want to talk about politics on this. What I want to ask is, do you believe that the Republicans or the Democrats are actually serious and have proposed something that will help the regular person get health insurance when their health insurance premiums have gone up 140%? And it also helps the people who don't have health insurance and really need it. Do you think this bill has done anything to change anything to help those people?
I can answer that this way. If this bill passes, it opens the door for another bill right behind it that says health insurance companies can compete nationwide.
Why don't they do that at the same time? They can.
Because they can't get it through. If they put that in the bill, they'd have to get 60 votes in the Senate. All right.
Not by the Senate's arcane rules.
It is. Because we researched.
Not according. I'll just take the word of Rand Paul, Mike Lee, and Ted Cruz. that they can do these things, and it is not the Senate rules and not the
if they put that in the bill that insurance companies can compete nationwide, they would need a 60 vote threshold, just like they need for Kate's law in the Senate. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Without it, they can just do simple majority in the Senate. So that's what our research shows. I could be wrong. I'm depending on my researchers.
Right. So let me ask you this. Ben Sasse said yesterday, if you can't get this through, just repeal and then come back with a better, with a better plan. Just repeal it.
I'm not opposed to that.
Right. And the president came out today and he tweeted about 20 minutes later, we should just repeal it.
Well, let's see. Let's see if they do it or not. I'm on your side on that. Okay. I think the tweet, though, said they should just repeal it because Mika Brzezinski is, and then he put in some bad word. Did I get that wrong?
I want to take a quick break, and then I want to come back with this obsession about women bleeding from their whatever that the president seems to have, and how you view Joe and Mika. I mean, some are saying that they deserve it. The White House said yesterday they started it. They're saying, in a statement today that they think this shows that the president is unstable. I'd like everybody just to stop and work on the business of the people. We'll get Bill O'Reilly's take on this coming up in just a second. Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. I was on with him on Monday. And he's got a fascinating show every day of the week. You can hear it, BillO'Reilly.com. Now this, gun lovers, the USCCA, the United States Concealed Carry Association, is ending the month of June by giving away a different gun every single day. And it's not just one gun. Today, 10 chances to win because they're giving away 10 great guns. Which one is it? You can get the Kimber Solo CDP. That's today. This is worth about $1,200. There's also a stunning 9/11, small enough to be a concealed carry, made right here in the USA. And you get 10 chances to win. All you have to do is, before midnight, I would do it right now while you're thinking about it, just go to protectanddefend.com, see the official rules, get entered to win. There's nothing to buy or anything else. You can win a new gun every day this week, and it's Independence Day weekend. What a better way to celebrate independence than enjoy the Second Amendment and have a brand new gun. Today, they're giving away 10 chances. It ends tonight at midnight. Protectanddefend.com. Do it right now. Protectanddefend.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Bill O'Reilly is here. Don Imus is coming up in just a second. And we welcome Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com, who is now going to share with us his take on the tweeting nonsense between Joe and Mika and the President of the United States. Yesterday, the president tweeted something that said, they were down at Mar-a-Lago and her face was bleeding from a facelift, and they wanted to come for a party, and I said, no, you got to stay upstairs, and it was weird. Joe and Mika responded today with an op-ed, and also they stayed on their TV show, hoping that maybe somebody would watch it. And I don't know if anybody did, but they made a statement and responded today saying that that's not true, and showed pictures of them at Mar-a-Lago at the time, and she wasn't bleeding from her whatever. Bill, what do you make of this?
Well, we got to walk through it step by step. Okay. Number one, Donald Trump is way oversensitive to criticism on cable news. I don't know why. And number two, I would submit that 90% of the American population does not know who Joe and Mika are.
Come on, it's not that low. It's more like 98% don't know who
they
are.
Well, I'm being generous, and I'm not. Right. This isn't a slap. This isn't a slap at them.
No, it's nobody not. Watches MSNBC.
Right, right. They're not household names. People don't know who they are or what they do. So that Trump, in his anger, elevated them, did them a favor, because now a lot of people know at least their names, and today they'll get probably record ratings on their program.
Yes.
So if the intent was to hurt them, he didn't. But I don't think that's the intent here. I think, and I could be wrong, I'm speculating now, but I know the players pretty well. I think that Donald Trump and his advisors, his close advisors, like Bannon, Steve Bannon, have decided that they're never going to get fair coverage from the American press, so that they're going to make the American press the enemy. And then next time around, mm-hmm. they're going to run against the American press, as well as whoever the Democrats throw up. And they're calculating that the American people are so furious with the media, and polls show that's true,
yes,
that they'll gain acceptance. The Trump administration will gain acceptance from more Americans by being aggressively brutal toward the press than they would if they ignored it. I think it's a political strategy that they feel that they're going to get votes in the long run by doing this.
Okay, so I kind of agree with you, or at least can see that that is of a real possibility.
Right.
But how does the president win when he's using this as a strategy to go against the press? How does he win in bringing the country together when he is doing something that most people, even some of his supporters, are really disgusted by? I mean, you just don't do that to a woman or anybody. You just don't treat people that way. And then yesterday, the White House came out and said, well, yes, but they start literally. Yes. But Joe and Mika started it. I mean,
right.
He's the president.
Well, number one, I don't think President Trump wants to bring the country together, because I think that their calculation, the administration's calculation, is that's never going to happen no matter what he does. So I don't think that's a priority or even discussed.
OK,
it's so basically us against them.
So let's stop there, and we'll come back. And I want to pick it back up with us against them. Is that an American thing that we should be doing? How do we repair for the next race? Next.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com is on with us. He's on with us every Friday at this time just to go over the news of the week. Bill, let me put two scenarios in front of you and have you help me understand where I'm going wrong. First of all, if the president was doing strategy, is there the possibility, when I was in Roger Ailes' office one time, he said to me, Glenn, you don't understand how to play the game. And I said, well, I'm not playing a game. And he said, I understand that, but there are ways to do things. And he said, for instance, do you think that Al Sharpton surprises me? And I said, I don't know. And he said, no, Al and I know each other, and I know that I have to give him a pound of flesh from time to time. And then he has to, then, you know, we settle for a while, and then I need a pound of flesh from him, and he gives it to me, and we all have dinner, and everything is fine. First question, is there the chance that this between Joe and Mika and the administration is kind of that game where they both think that they are going to win? Because there's obviously a long time friendship between Joe and Mika and the president. I mean, We saw the way they were helping him with the questions when he was doing a debate on MSNBC. And we've seen that they're hanging out in his room. They've gone to Mar-a-Lago. He was one of the first people that knew about them getting married. Is there a possibility that this is a stage show that we're seeing?
No.
Why?
No. Because it's all based on emotion. As I said, Trump reacts emotionally to criticism. He doesn't like criticism. He won't accept criticism, even if it's constructed. You'll remember when I was covering him in the campaign in the Detroit debate, the live debate. I went to him after the debate for an interview, and he said, "You need a psychiatrist, O'Reilly." And he was serious. I mean, and he may be right, but he was angry with me because I didn't do what he wanted me to do, whatever that was. I don't even know. So he takes it all personally. That's the Trump okay. side. The okay. other side on Brzezinski and Scarborough is ratings. Okay, it's
yes.
ratings.
I agree with and, that.
Right. So they're in business at MSNBC, and they know that hating Trump is good for business. So once that was established, they were told, hate Trump. And Trump sees that as a betrayal, so that he's especially angry with them because, as you put it accurately, once they were friends. So now they're not. And that's what happened.
Okay, so what we have here is the media acting like the media and doing their thing for ratings. Get it, understand it, not surprised by it. We have a president who takes everything very personal and reacts emotionally. So next question. What is the age that you have to be president? Is it 35? It's 35, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So why did the founder say that you needed to be 35 years old to be president of the United States?
Because they wanted a level of maturity.
So help me out on this. 35 years old, you should be more mature than they started it, or she's bleeding from the face. How do we as people stop this nonsense, because the media is not helping. I take it at face value. They want ratings. So they're not helping and sticking up for the American people, which what they're supposed to do is the fourth estate. And the president is not mature enough to be president of the United States. He's acting like, honestly, my 13-year-old son might act. And that's an insult to my 13-year-old son. I would hope he would act better than this. How do we stop this, Bill?
You can't. I mean, you can't. So it's
so then what
happened was that the American people saw 8 years of Barack Obama when you had a president who was passive aggressive, who very rarely lashed out, but did things that came out that were not good for the folks. And the folks said, you know what? We're going the other way. We don't care if this is a flamboyant guy who speaks his mind and tweets his mind. We don't care, because we believe we got hosed the last 8 years by this button-down guy who was exactly opposite. So it was an emotional vote for Trump. So there's nothing you can do. Trump's not going to change. He's 70 years old, twice the age of the presidential requirement. He's always been that way. He's always going to be that way.
Okay, so, but what I'm asking
is calculating that this is not going to hurt him with the folks.
Right. So so that's no different, really, than what the press is doing. They're doing it for ratings. He's doing it for votes and popularity so he can be reelected.
Brilliant.
I know.
There you go.
I know.
You
so guys, here's the thing.
You don't have to go to BillO'Reilly.com for the right. analysis. You so, just nailed it.
Right. So here's what I'm asking you, because I don't need to understand. I knew that. I got that. What I'm trying to get to is, how do we move forward as a country, as parties, and as human beings? I have people on my own staff with the Blaze that are in this stupid, childish Twitter war. And it is so stupid. We're supposed to be serving our audience. And they've got some, I don't even know all the details. I just know that a bunch of people are in a Twitter war. And honestly, I'm at the point where I'm going to come back and fire all of them, because we have to serve the people. Get out of your own space and serve the people. Who is going to say that if not the president? How do we get our somebody?
It's not going to happen under a Trump administration, or I'll submit, under any of the people of the Democratic Party that are lining up to run against him. Look, I said at the beginning of this interview, we're talking about Kate's Law, the country's in trouble, and it is. And you know, I admire you and Prager for having your town hall today in Los Angeles about civility and how people should be able to talk to each other about opposing points of view. I think that the more media people that do that, the better the discourse will be. But let's be realistic. We're living in an age of hate, H-A-T-E, hate. And there's no counter to it because the press is not seeking the truth. Look, I could stay here for 5 hours with you and tell you how I've been attacked over the past 20 years.
I know.
Okay? In brutal ways, and so have you. And so have you. And it's not going to stop because those attacks work. They advance ideologues who have no conscience, who are trying to gain power. They don't care if the country's damaged. They don't care if people hate each other. They just want either money or power.
I have been here for a week. In mainly my days are in Hollywood. I'm spending my evenings having conversations with some of the most brilliant people from Silicon Valley. And again, I did it last night with a guy. I had dinner with a guy who has very little in common with me politically, but he sounded exactly like me and said he was concerned again about his side of the aisle. And he said, I'm just as concerned about my side of the aisle as your side of the aisle. We've got to stop this. I think the American people are in a different place than both the media and the Trump advisors think we're in. There is a group of people, a large group of people, that just want to continue. But there, I believe, is a larger group that if an adult stood up and said, knock it off, that person would be listened to.
I'm not sure because there isn't a uniformed way to communicate. It's scattered. It's balkanized. It's all over the place. And if you look at the internet where the under 50s live, Americans under the age of 50 live, if you look at that, the vicious, vile garbage that is on every single commentary line is staggering.
They're not
taught civility in school.
I know.
Parents are just as brutal as their children.
I know.
Language is coarsened.
Women are just as bad as men now.
Yeah.
I know it.
Look.
I can't tell you how many people who are not in the same camp, anywhere close to the same camp, can't believe they're meeting with me kind of people.
No, there are saying to me
this week, quote, I can't even watch CNN anymore. I just don't believe anybody. Wow.
I think there will be a backlash against certain media properties. You can see it. I can see it because I follow the ratings. You know, since I left Fox News, ratings for Fox have gone down substantially.
Yes.
All right. And then you saw it. You're going to see the other liberal networks, not last night, because they'll all capitalize on this crazy tweet thing, but they're going to go down.
Right.
You were right. But in the individual, the American individual is now being taught that this kind of hatred is acceptable.
Yes.
It's acceptable. All right.
So,
and that's a big, big difference. I'm a historian. I write history.
I know.
And not since the Civil War. Not since the Civil War has there been such hatred between and among Americans.
And if this continues to play out this way, there will be another Civil War. Let me ask you this. I was really disappointed to read yesterday that Greta Van Susteren was fired. It seems to her surprise because she had been told over and over again, you need more conflict. And I never watched her show, so I don't know what she was doing over there. But it seems as though NBC is there was a there was some inkling that they might be trying to come back and reduce some of the conflict. I know that CNN is being told, the people there are being told, more conflict, more conflict, more conflict. Now Greta is being fired because she wouldn't follow that. Is there a chance that anyone on television will say we're going to go the other way?
No. No, because ratings are gathered, and Greta wasn't doing that well in the numbers, and she didn't, you know, fulfill expectations, so NBC moved her out for another ideologue on the left. Greta's not a real ideologue, she's not, and she's more of a traditional interviewer.
Sure.
It was just a numbers game with her, and then it gets back to, you know, why people do what they do. It's either power or money, all right? Power or money. And,
okay.
And Americans need to know that you got to think about who you're watching and who you're electing.
Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. I've got really only a minute, and I don't know how you're going to be able to answer this in a minute, but I'm going to try to give it a chance. When there is a society that has destroyed all of the role models, they have taken all of the traditional role models that, you know, Moses and Jesus really were the role models and everything we built the West on. When we have gotten rid of them and destroyed all role models and there is no one modeling good behavior, how does a society survive?
I don't know. I mean, I can't possibly answer that. You know, look, your mandate is trying to bring people together and trying to have intelligent discussions. My mandate is seeking the truth. All right. We're different, but we're both trying to help the country in our own way. I don't care about money. I had the ratings. It didn't matter. I got destroyed by the left-wing ideologues anyway. And that's that. So I got BillO'Reilly.com, and we're doing what we do. You've got the Blaze, your radio show, and your website. You do what you do. And that's, you know, when we go to sleep at night, at least we can say to ourselves, we're honest people. We love our country. It's 4th of July weekend, and we're trying to do our best. And Bill, so I hope everybody, you know, goes to your website, goes to BillO'Reilly.com. We have great stuff there the next 4 days. But we're trying to tell the truth. But right now, Beck, the truth is depressing. It's depressing.
Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. Thank you so much, Bill. I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate the fact that you can take a punch as well as throw a punch. I appreciate that. And thanks so much for being on the program. Check out BillO'Reilly.com, become a member, and see his premium stuff, which, you know, I don't know, premium's a little strong of a word, but yeah, check out his no-spin news every night at BillO'Reilly.com. Thanks, Bill. Happy Independence Day weekend. Now
have
this.
Fun, Beck. Thanks for having me in.
You bet. S&P Global Ratings have warned the agency will likely lower Illinois' credit worthiness to below investment grade if feuding lawmakers fail to agree on a state budget for a third straight year. Think of that. Junk bonds. Illinois, cut the star off the flag. They have become Puerto Rico. What happens? Well, I don't know, because the left and the right can't talk to each other. This will be the first state to see its debt plunge it into junk bond status. This is what I talked about 6 years ago, and I used Illinois as the example and said they're the worst in the worst shape when it comes to pensions. And here we are. Everything that we worried about is happening, but you're not noticing it because everything is on fire. I want you to call Goldline right now, get their free report from David Stockman, who is Ronald Reagan's investment and budget director. He has identified 5 threats to the economy and financial markets. You can get it for free by calling 1-866-465-3546. That's 866-465-3546, 866-GOLDLINE. Also, they have extended their price protection program for as little as $2,500. You'll get 3 months of price protection, and the more you spend, the more protection you get, all the way up to a year for a $25,000 investment. Nobody else does this. You want to protect your money? You want to have something just in case? Call Goldline now. Goldline.com, 1-866-GOLDLINE.
This is
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
I believe Don Imus may have hours to live. He's going to be on with us here in a second, but there is something seriously wrong with Don Imus. He's been nice in the last two emails to me, and it's disturbing. And we'll talk to Don Imus about today's news and more next.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
So Don Imus is, a radio icon, a radio legend, and any other word that I could come up with that will make him sound really old. And been a hero of mine since I was a very, very, very little child. And having him as a, and I use this in air quotes, friend, has been really remarkable, because not only can he give a punch, he can take a hard punch. With all of that being said, Don and I will exchange emails from time to time, and there's rarely a nice word said in either direction. I'm very concerned about Don because I asked him to be on the show yesterday, and he was his typical nasty self. And then he said, "How can my wife hear it? I'm sorry, I don't know." And there was an apology. And I thought, wow, maybe that's a secretary kind of writing for him. Then just a few minutes ago, I get a picture of his new puppy dog that he got yesterday. And I thought to myself, his death must be imminent. He must be minutes away from death if he is sending me a picture. If I would have ever sent him a picture of my new puppy dog minutes before we went on the air, I can guarantee you I would have been beaten in the face for an hour. So we're going to check if he's okay. And if he is okay, we're going to beat him in the face for about an hour. Don Imus begins right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
As if it is Don Imus, let's say hello to Don Imus.
Let us all pray together in the name of Jesus. Friends, we are gathered here this morning to bear witness to a conversation between one of the great figures in the history of broadcasting and an unwashed member of the heathen flock, Glenn Beck. Dear God, please allow these men to avoid the language of hatred, the language of ridicule, the language of vicious mockery. Lord God, the language of sin. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
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 All right. So,
how are you, Mr. Beck?
I'm very good, Don, and I want to make sure that you understand that I may be avoiding the language of mockery, but I encourage you to engage in the language of mockery. It's what you do.
Yes, it is.
Yes. All right.
Well, how are you?
I'm okay until I got the picture of your cute little puppy dog.
Oh, wait, about my dog? My dog will kick your dog's ass. How about that?
Your dog is the typical Don Imus dog. It's got one brown eye, one blue eye. It looks crazy as hell. And
let me tell
it's
what my dog will do. My dog will bite your dick off. How about that?
Okay. All right. Okay, Don.
Sarah,
right.
Please.
I don't know if we've edited that now. This is a live program, and we might have
people there helping you talk. You have a little amen chorus. Those fat people who want to be Glenn Beck. So, oh, well, I'm going to hang out with Glenn in the studio with him, and maybe somebody will like it to fill in for him. Is that what you have on? Like I do.
We're definitely fat, but we don't want to be Glenn Beck, I'll tell you
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Okay. Don, I may have to retract some of the urging for you to be Don Imus. I had forgotten what Don Imus really was like. So Don.
Yeah.
Does anybody really like you? Sincerely, this is not the question that I had planned for you, but is there anyone who truly likes you? Because I don't think your wife even likes you. She's surprised that you've lived this long. She told you not to take any of the medicine for cancer. She gave you a diet that she just made up, hoping that you would die before you burn through all the cash.
You know, they say my son, Wyatt Imus, who goes to Rice University and big rodeo star here in Texas, he and my wife say, and I honestly say all the time, he'll say, Dad, that's why you don't have any friends, because you're a prick. So, no, I don't. I mean, I guess there's some people
all right.
who like me, but you know, you like me, actually.
Not that much.
We don't hang out together because, you know,
right.
I don't like to go to places where you have to wear a sweater that was given to you by Ellen DeGeneres, but that's a love when you're on Fox, you know, and you get there at the blackboard, you have your knitted sweater on, those crazy eyes, and you're darting all over the room. And I mean, that was the greatest television ever, I'm going to tell you that now.
You know, I tell you, Don, our emails between each other started back in those days, and strangely, I enjoyed all of them while you were telling me things just like that, and I know that you did watch the show every day.
It was great. Come on, man.
Yeah, and you watched it for a different reason. You watched it because... Yeah. You really thought I was crazy as hell.
Oh, I still do. I think you're one of not to patronize you, you're one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life, ever talked to. But I really do think, all that crying and going on, and then one day you're this, and next day you're that, and then you're apologizing for this. No, you're clinically insane. That's a horrible thing. It doesn't make you a bad person. You're not a bad person. But I'm going to tell you something, you're crazy. You know you're crazy. Come on. Come on.
Amen.
So Don, let's talk a little bit about what's happening with Joe and Mika and the president. What's your take?
I might be the wrong person to ask about making fun of a woman's appearance.
It's a pretty good point.
Yeah, that's
a very good point.
That's a very good point.
You know, he's a little punk-ass bitch.
Okay.
He really is. He's a coward and he's a punk. He really is. And I work with him now. I don't know much about her. Seems fine.
Just hold on for just a second. I need time for the delay.
What's the matter with the delay? What are you on?
I've had to edit you now live about three times.
Really? Oh, no, he's a punk, Joe Scarborough.
Yes. All right. You could say that.
Nice woman. I don't believe. I believe she could have said about anything to me, and I wouldn't have responded. And I don't think he should have either. And I like him. I voted for him. I'd vote for him again. But I think. Excuse me.
Oh my gosh! This is the moment.
But I thought he'd be a lot better president than he's been so far. I don't know. So, you know, but here's the thing. That boy's had a bunch of surgery himself, you know. And that hair of him, can you imagine what he looks like in the morning? He probably sleeps in one of them big old blousy white T-shirts, and he sweats at night. And he gets up in the morning, got them big old blubber titties and hair, you know. Hair hanging down the side of his head.
We're all out of time, aren't we?
He's a grotesque figure. Who is he kidding? You can't be talking to me. Not me.
We're all out of time.
All right.
That's what I like about
Oh, this is the funniest 20 minutes I've ever done on radio, and I have had nothing to do with it. So So, Don, where does the country go from here? How do we stop this nonsense?
Well, that's a great, I mean, I hate it when I interview people and say, oh, that's a great question, Don. Well, I said, well, if it's such a great question, why don't you give me a great answer? But I don't have one. And you know, for the first time that I can remember, and all I can remember pretty much to back to Wednesday, but I don't know. I mean, he's got a, I mean, it's all up to him. He's not a dumb guy, and he's, he doesn't have a real education, but he's got great instincts. He's got some pretty good ideas. He's willing to, for the most part, surround himself with some smart people. But I mean, I just don't understand getting sidetracked. And he knows what the media is going to do. We already know they're all against him. I mean, come on. And so he keeps shooting himself in the foot. And I don't, to answer your question, where does the country go, man? I don't know. He's got to get himself together. He's not going to be there because they'll get rid of him. They'll figure out a way because there's a bunch of people that really run the country anyway, and it's not him. And they'll figure out a way to get rid of him. So I hope they don't. And I really do think he could be a terrific president. But there's some psychosis of his that won't allow him to just do what he's got to do, suck it up, just discipline to run the country.
You've known him for a long time. I mean, at one point you were on the air in New York, and so he would.
I'm still on the air in New York.
Oh, are you really? No, I didn't know that.
You know, I'm only 3 hours and 20 minutes away from you. 202 miles from your studio.
Yeah,
I would come there and stab you in the neck. That
So I do have to, well, I'm not going to ask your permission. I'm just going to do it anyway.
Of course.
I got an email from Don, and I just want to, let's see if I can read. Let's see, there's a little picture of your puppy dog.
My dog's name is Ed, by the way.
Your what?
Ed is my dog's name.
Oh, my gosh, we care so much.
Dang. You can laugh now. I bring my dog to your house. Not leaving, you ain't got a dick. What are you going to do then?
You got to stop, man. Okay, so here's the disclaimer. You know how everybody...
anything anymore anyway.
Here's the disclaimer.
Your wife, damn it, Faye. Come on, girl. Stop sending me them in text.
All right, so here's the disclaimer.
Yeah.
It's at the bottom of Don's emails. Disclaimer. This email and any files transmitted with it are confidential and proprietary information. It is information intended solely for the use of the designated recipient. If you are not the designated recipient and you have read the contents of this email, you are aware that Mr. Imus's friend, Suge Knight, will eventually get out of prison. You know the first place he's going to go.
You're doing a great job reading this. Any last thoughts coming up? Jesus, come on, man.
You know the first place he's going to go? Your house.
That's
so
right.
Immediately notify the sender of this receipt of this email and delete it from any and all devices you've received it on. This is not an effing joke. Do not use, disclose, distribute, copy, or show to your stupid friends to prove you know me. Don't print the contents of this email and any files transmitted with it. Finally, destroy all devices in which you receive this transmission. That may sound crazy, will obviously prove expensive, but not anywhere near as expensive as the attorney you're going to have to hire if you don't. Now, Don, I just want you to know, I thought that was so funny, I emailed that to all my friends.
I change it all the time, you know.
Oh, I've never read it before, so I thought that was something.
Well, you did a fine job reading it, too, Glenn.
Yeah. Don, I remember now why we don't have you on the air very often, and it's been great to talk to you, Don.
I've never been on the air with you, isn't it?
No, this is the second, but thanks for remembering. And actually, the first time we ever met, do you know? It was in 1983 or 1984. You were still at NBC. And I was there with a friend of mine, and they were doing the overnights at NBC. And I was just a kid, maybe, I don't know, 8 or 9. And you walked in, and you kicked the door open and stood there like a doorstop. And you looked at me and the other guy, and you said, get your stuff and get the F out.
I don't believe I did that.
Yeah, you did. Right? Yeah, you did. And it was a moving, touching moment. And
what was the old white guy's name?
What?
What was your friend's name, Glenn?
It was Lee Chambers.
Well, I remember Lee. I like Lee.
Yeah, well, you didn't like Lee that day, or maybe it was just me, but it was...
These apocryphal stories of me are not true. And I was still drinking and doing drugs. No, was I doing... I stopped doing cocaine on June 1st, 1983.
Yeah, so you probably...
If it was before 83, I could have been coked up. So
yeah, you were probably coked up, or you know, after you stopped coke, you did heroin for a while. So
no, I didn't.
Might have been the
drank a lot of vodka, man.
All right, Don.
Rehab, you know.
All right, Don. All right, Don. Time to go. Time to go to bed. It's almost time for your dinner.
My name
so.
Is Don.
All right. I gotta go. I gotta read a live spot, and I'll do it expertly. Thank you very much, Don Imus. Host of Imus in the Morning, that's heard on some station in some city. And we appreciate it, Don.
Say hallelujah, baby. Say hallelujah. Love you.
Hallelujah, man. Thank you very much, Don. Now this. Can you even remember how old your mattress is? God forbid it's as old as Don Imus. You'll spend a third of your life in bed. And with a Casper mattress, you're already getting a higher quality mattress. Cool. Comfortable, you'll sleep comfortable every single night at a more affordable price. Casper will ship right to your door for free in a small little box where you think, how the heck did they even do that? And if you don't love it, they're going to pick it up and refund every single dollar. Sleeping on a mattress is the best way to try it. Put a Casper to the test in your own home. 100 nights, risk-free. Go to Casper.com, use the promo code BECK. You'll get $50 off the purchase of your mattress. It's Casper.com, promo code BECK. Terms and conditions do apply. Casper.
The Glenn Beck Program.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
We are one. The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Wow.
Just sending a, let me just tell you others wrote, Don, this email serves as notice that you have been added to my official pursuer list and your little dog, too, Glenn.
There's a reason that guy's a legend, man.
I don't even know how much of that went on the air.
Very little. It was about 30 seconds long to most of the audience.
Yeah. That is one of the funniest segments. I don't think we've ever had a funnier segment than that. He is just a riot. Just a riot. And one of the smartest men, and so well read and truly, truly kind on the inside. On the outside, mean as hell.
Mm-hmm.
But
there was a time when he was mean as hell too, on mm-hmm. the inside.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's changed.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
No, he's changed
since 1983.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we all have. If you haven't, you're
Oh, I went the other way.
You're the president.
I used to be nice, and now I'm a lot meaner than I was.
That is true.
That is
you
very
used
true.
To be nice, and uh-huh. you are uh-huh. really uh-huh. you're great because it's years and years of pain.
Yes,
and
years of BS, and so you know between those two things, I've been beaten down.
Yeah,
and now I'm just plain mean.
You are the guy that you know. Just you're Walter Matthau, and you're the guy who comes out and screams, get the hell off my lawn! And it's great.
By the way, with Joe Scarborough being in the news today, can we give Don Imus credit for an old prediction of his? Joe Scarborough had a radio show on WABC.
Oh, yeah. And Don was not a fan of that.
No. And it went into...
Neither was anybody else.
Supposedly hiatus...
Well, yeah, they had to figure out how to do the third hour.
Yeah, he used that. Yep,
they're still meeting on that today.
Yeah,
right.
Because they said they had a two-hour show. We had to figure out how to do a third hour, so they just took the show off the air. That was legitimately
right.
their excuse.
He also said he was looking for a more competitive time yes. slot.
That was a separate yes. other failure yeah. of his radio right. show that he said he needed to make more competitive. But Imus said at the time, and he was on the station with him, His radio show is canceled. They're not revamping anything. He will never be on WABC in New York again, ever. 100% correct.
It was true.
Yes.
Exactly right.
Until they can figure out how to do the third hour. Then they will be back on.
Technically we can find a way to get more, delay in the show so we can delete more of the words, he's got to come back. Yes. He is just absolutely hysterical and, as Stu said, a legend for a reason.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Holy cow, it's going to take me days to recover from Don Imus being on the program. I don't know how much of that was edited, because it was edited at the we have something called a dump button, and it's a 7-second delay, and so I don't know. Sarah, did you dump things out of that?
Oh, several times.
Really?
A lot of people are reacting because they were listening, depending on where you were listening. If you're on the stream or you're on TV, you got all of that. You're welcome.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. We have to post the raw in case you, because of the FCC, we couldn't, we had to dump. And honestly, because of our tender sensibilities as well. Hysterical. Absolutely hysterical. It's sad that he's going to be dead probably very, very soon.
That was a good last interview, though. I mean, if you're going to
really was
gonna have one.
Really was. And when he started to cough.
I was worried about him when he started to cough. I thought that
when he started to cough, I was actually...
the moment right there.
I actually had a moment where I... Sincerely, I had a moment when he started to cough where I'm thinking, good Lord, let him die right now. It'll be huge news. then I realized we're going into a 5-day weekend, so it'll be buried. Come back on a Tuesday, Don, so people can chew on it all week.
You have said before, I think you said it last week, earlier this week maybe, that someday you're going to release a reader, a book of all of your emails back and forth. It would be tremendous. The ones so funny and so mean.
Yeah, I have to get Don's permission or wait until he dies. So either way, by Wednesday, I'll make a decision. the email exchanges, and the nice thing about Don, and I love this, Don, he swings a hard punch. But he doesn't really mean it. You know what I mean? He, his dog is not going to come and do those things to me, I think. and so he doesn't mean it. And he only punches when he really is either really, truly disgusted by somebody or he likes them.
Yes.
And when I first went on with him.
And you can tell the difference. Truly disgusted by Joe Scarborough. He genuinely likes you.
Yeah. And so when I went on his show the first time, I rolled the dice thinking that Don was a lot like me. I love it when people make fun of me to my face. And they hit me, just as hard as they possibly can. I love it. I think it's hysterical. So I rolled the dice that Don liked that. And I don't remember what it was, but I came out swinging, and he laughed so hard. And I was on his show, his TV show, for about 20 minutes that nobody watched. And I wanted to add some actual facts in here. Mm-hmm. And he just loved it. And we started writing to each other, and his emails are so hysterical, and there's not a kind thing said between us. And that's really why it disturbed me so much that he sent me a picture of his little puppy dog. Because honestly, that's a sign of death is imminent. He's thinking about little puppy dogs and the man he could have been. Just before he dies, he hits send. Look at this cute little puppy dog. There's not a kind word said between us, and yet we adore each other. And I have saved all of the emails just because there's no email like a Don Imus email. There's just none.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, like the exchange that I think I said this on the air a couple of weeks ago. We wrote back and forth, and I hadn't talked to him in a while. You know, I'll get just an email from him, and he'll catch the show, and he'll say, "Have another piece of cake." And that's all he'll say. And so I actually wrote to his address last week, and I said, in the subject line, it was "Sorry to hear the news." And I said, "Deirdre, it's, sorry to hear the news about Don's, death. Just wanted to know if, you know, now that the ball and chain is dead, and you've got some cash laying around, if you wanted to get together." And
to his address.
To his address. And he wrote back as her, and he said, "It's so nice to hear from you. His death wasn't a surprise to us. He had been complaining about having a hard time to breathe, but it might have been the pillow I was holding over his face."
So funny.
She said, "I'd love to get together with you, but that stick of a wife, what was her name? Bambi. Is she still around?" And it only went really downhill from there.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that whole, you know, that whole team, I mean, Charles McCord, mm-hmm. Bernie, I mean, Mike Breen, who is now one of the biggest, you know, play by play guys in the NBA. He's, you know, God only knows how much money he makes. The stuff they used to do on that show with his sports reports is some of the funniest stuff in the history of the medium.
It's funny, too, after what we just heard, his second radio station, his first real job in radio, he got fired for saying the word "hell" on the air. Put that in context. From 1968 to today.
Well, that happened to you too, didn't it, Gunn? I mean, Washington, D.C.?
I was in Washington, D.C. It was 1982, and I think I said the word "crap," or it was something like that. And I got a full-page memo saying, "I don't know who you think you are or where you are, but this is Washington, D.C., the home of the nation's capital and the FCC. And we don't use language like that on the air." I was like,
wow.
And I remember feeling like, oh, man, I've really gone over the line here. I shouldn't have said "crap." And almost everything Don just said that we had to edit out for air is said all the time in conversation. And most shows will let it air. There was only one word, I think, that he said that legally can't be said on the air, but we edit just for sensibilities. But you hear this stuff from radio shows everywhere, but we just like to have a little higher standard of language, which, you know, is maybe why we're number three and not number one. But it's amazing how much radio has truly changed, and especially this way. Don Imus is truly one of the smart. He is Penn Jillette smart. Penn is one of the most well-read people I've ever met, and thinks about absolutely everything and has done his homework. Don is the same way. He's probably the smartest guy probably ever on radio, especially any kind of entertainment radio. He can hold his own in almost every single subject. And he was a pioneer of things like, you know, candid phone and the phony phone calls. You know, he was the first guy, and it made huge news. He called a McDonald's up in like 1972.
Ordered 1,200 hamburgers.
Yeah. And said he was on the military base, and they were on their way, and he needed 1,200 hamburgers to go. And he needed, you know, X number with pickles, you know, X number without, and, you know, this is before, you know, special orders don't upset us. and he aired it on the air and got into a lot of trouble for it. It is totally, you know, now it would not even hardly be funny because, you know, everything is over the top now. Back then, nobody did that. And that's one of the, you know, one of the first things that that he did. What he started with was what was his name? Billy Sol Hargis, the preacher.
That's right. Yeah. Which is kind of how he started the interview.
Yeah. God's other son.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy pioneered so much. And you listen to especially morning radio now. He was doing, you know, he was doing top 40 radio at NBC and wicked smart. And you listen to most music radio now in the morning and they're just, I mean, I'm surprised they can tell the difference between a fork and a knife in the kitchen. Some of the people now doing morning radio are just dumb as a box of rocks. There was a time that it took real intelligence to do morning radio. And then Glenn and Pat started doing morning radio and that went to hell.
Yeah.
So
right out the window.
Anyway. So do we have him back on again or is it too dangerous for
see if we have an FCC license first and then we'll answer that question.
And we'll go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else? I'm going to take a quick break and then find out if there's anything else that we have missed this week or missed today that we need to discuss, and we'll do that here in just a second. Let me tell you about our sponsor. It is Mercury Real Estate. I want to tell you about Don and Sandy. Don and Sandy tried to sell their property a few years ago. They didn't have any success. Their realtor was, you know, impossible to work with, made the process stressful. I've had this before where, you know, they're like, oh, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have another open house. Oh, my gosh. That stressed my wife out so much. People are going to come through the house again. We have to have everything clean. We have to have everything nice. Selling your house, you always have to have it look nice because you never know. And then an open house and they put up balloons and it doesn't work. This time, Don and Sandy tried to sell their house again. And this time, because they're listeners of this program, they went to realestateagentsitrust.com, had a completely different experience. Ron is their real estate agent, met with him right away within 2 days. He had a photographer out there taking pictures of their place. The property was listed. About 5 days later, they had an open house. They had 10 offers. realestateagentsitrust.com. We're going to find the right real estate agent and the best real estate agent in your town. Thousands of families have already put realestateagentsitrust.com to the test. The results are remarkable, and these are people that they listen to the show. They have to have our same kind of values and principles. They're the kind of people that just want to do business, kind of, you know, kind of the handshake, the cowboy contract. I'm going to do what I say. Look you in the eye. And be a decent human being. realestateagentsitrust.com. You want your home sold fast and for the most money. Go there right now. realestateagentsitrust.com.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BACK.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Just trying to see what we've missed today. Thousands are watching YouTube pranksters burying themselves alive for 24 hours in stunts. And, of course, YouTube is trying to come out and say, you might not want to build yourself a coffin and dig a grave in your backyard and have your friends bury you for a day. Could be hazardous to your health. Again, I just say Darwin.
I mean, it is true, but it's, you know, there was that terrible story in Minnesota this week.
Yeah, so ugly.
Where was the one in Minnesota?
This little couple, a 19-year-old girl and her boyfriend, who's 22, did this stunt where he put an encyclopedia in front of him, and she stood a foot away and fired a 50-caliber handgun round into the book. They were hoping it would stop at the book.
There is no 50-caliber handgun.
It didn't, yes.
They, it's not a handgun. I don't know. They did 50, name. They
it's
named
a desert,
it. It was 50 caliber.
Desert, yeah. Oh, the Desert Eagle.
Yeah, yes, Desert Eagle. Eagle.
Holy.
Yeah.
What is 50 wrong with
caliber? Of course, that's going to go through from a foot away, and it killed him. So
and their 3-year-old son or daughter was watching.
What is wrong with people?
I don't know.
What is wrong with people?
It really is. I mean, and you know,
so tragic.
They were really seen sad. In a video they had just posted about like, oh, can you imagine if we can get to 300,000 subscribers? It's like, is that what goal is that? What kind of goal is that? Like, that's, you know, even if that you were to achieve that, which they were not, they did not. But even if you were, like, that's such an empty goal to be searching for. This, like, fame for the sake of fame's sake.
People aren't creating anything. You know, you look at what's happening with, you know, let's even just take us and, you know, radio and take the worst of us. And, you know, our job is to inform, but a lot of times our job is, you know, leads us to a place to where we're making fun or tearing down and not showing a way to build back. And that's really what's happening in all of our society, especially when people are trying to be famous. They're just tearing down and nobody's building anything. Nobody's even thinking about it. And it's just sad, is really sad. I'm here in California. This is such a beautiful state, such a remarkably beautiful state. And it always to me screamed that it's a place to start over. It's a place of a brighter day. It's, you know, if you look at the women when I was growing up, Pat was growing up, that California girl meant fresh, untouched, no makeup, sun-kissed, natural. Now you look at the women here and it's just cut-up faces, plastic, you know, injected and fake everything. And it just shows where we are. We are only after not real happiness, just being noticed, just being seen, just being famous. And I don't know. Is it because people feel like nobody notices them? Nobody hears them? And it's imaged in our country that if you're rich or you're famous, you're more happy? Because you're not. You really are not. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, this weekend, take the time to really ponder true independence and what it takes to be independent and the happiness that you can pursue to be the person you were meant to be, not the person we've allowed ourselves to become.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.